started.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercies. Thank you for your compassions toward us. Thank you for your strength that is upholding us. Thank you, Lord, for making all things work together for our good. Thank you for moving us forward in every day of our lives. Thank you, Father. We thank you for giving us victories over darkness and all the oppressions. Thank you for glorifying your name in our lives and situations. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for drawing us closer to yourself. Thank you for helping us to live the kind of life you want us to live. Thank you for helping us to know you beyond head knowledge and beyond the letters. Thank you, Father. Thank you for helping us to grow spiritually. Thank you for helping us to grow stronger than our weaknesses. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for the things you have taught us on this platform, especially through the previous Bible study classes. Thank you for teaching us a lot from your scriptures. A Lord by your Spirit. Thank you, Father. We are here this evening to learn more from you, especially concerning persecution. I ask, O Lord, that you speak to us in Jesus' name. Speak to our hearts in the language we will understand. In Jesus' name. Help us, O Lord, to grow in faith and in all spiritual maturity through the teaching of this evening, in Jesus' name. Thank you for we know you're going to do beyond our expectations. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We're going to be moving to the next topic, Last week, Tuesday, we talked on the fact that those who persecute Christians, they do not truly know God. They do that because they don't truly know God. So today we are going to be looking at another reason, you know, why persecutors attack Christians. Another reason why persecutors attack Christians. And that is self-righteousness. Self-righteousness and misguided religious zeal. So the persecutors, they attack us because of their self-righteousness. They are so self-righteous. And not only that, because they have misguided religious zeal. Yeah, they are full of religion. And they are zealous concerning their religion. So because of misguided religious zeal, they persecute Christians. So there are people who doesn't have the right kind of zeal. They have a demonic kind of zeal. That is, they are so passionate about something that is against the will of God. Yeah. And because they are so passionate about that thing, they are ready even to attack and kill Christians. Yeah, because whatever they are zealous about is not of God and is demonic. So the evil spirit connected to their religion keeps on moving them to kill God's people. Yeah, because every false religion have evil spirit walking in that, in the religion. Yeah. I pray that you will not have a misguided religious zeal. In Jesus' name. Yeah, because there are Christians who are very religious than spiritual. Yeah, there's a difference between being spiritual and being religious. Yeah, so you can be religious and not spiritual. Yeah. So there are some people, they just practice religion, but not spirituality. That is, they have no personal relationship with God. They only practice religion. That is, they go to church on Sundays or during church service days. They give offerings. They do the singing and the dancing. Yeah, they do all the routines in the church. But they are not born again. And they don't have the Holy Spirit in them. And they have no personal relationship with God. Yeah, so they are so religious. Yeah, they only practice religion. So we have Christians in that category. And these religious Christians, they can persecute the spiritual Christians. Yeah, they can attack even the spiritual Christians. They can attack those of us who are enlightened, who are born again, and who have genuine relationship with God. Yeah, so it's not only unbelievers that practice religion. Even Christians can practice religion, and or maybe I should say they can practice religion outside of spirituality. Yeah, and somebody said that Christianity is not a religion, that it's a relationship. Yeah, and that is true. Christianity is about personal relationship with God. However, Christianity also has a religious aspect of it. Yeah, because if you look at Christianity from the outside, that is, you look at Christianity as a human being with a human mind, you're going to see religion. Yeah, but when you look deep, then you're going to see spirituality. Yeah. So if you say Christianity is not a religion, fine. And if you say it's a religion, you are correct too. Yeah, but what you should take note of is that the essence of Christianity is about knowing God for yourself, having a real and strong personal walk with God. Yeah, that is the essence of Christianity. So here, I said, self-righteous people, and people with misguided religious zeal would persecute Christians. Yeah, and what is self-righteousness? What does it mean to be self-righteous? Self-righteousness simply means a kind of righteousness that you give to yourself. Yeah, it simply means approving yourself before God, validating yourself before God. Yeah, instead of looking at your life through the standard of God, but you are setting a standard for yourself, and you believe in your heart that by this standard I have set, I am righteous before God. So that is self-righteousness. Yeah, it is you giving yourself a righteousness. Yeah, it's like, let me give you an example. It's like children and their parents. You as a mother, you tell your children, and then you say, go and clean up the kitchen. Yeah, go and clean up the kitchen, clean up everywhere that is dirty, wash the dirty plate. Yeah, and then your child goes to the kitchen and then just do some cleaning, not all the cleaning. yeah, your child just do some cleaning, and then your child came back and tell you that, mom, I'm done, I've cleaned everywhere. And then you look at the child, you said, are you sure? He said, yes, everywhere is clean. But you, being the parent, you now take a look at what your child said he or she have done in the kitchen. And then you look at everywhere, and then you see that there are still a lot of dirty plates or some dirty plates somewhere, and a lot of things left undone. Yeah, and then you call the child back, and then you say, why are you lying, or why were you lying? See dirty things everywhere. You did not clean the kitchen. Yeah, so self-righteousness is what the child did. Yeah, when that child came and said, mom, I've cleaned everywhere. I've cleaned the kitchen. Everywhere is okay. Yeah, because to the eyes of that child, everywhere is okay. But to the eyes of the parent, everywhere isn't okay. Yeah, so self-righteousness is when you set rules for yourself. You set standards for yourself. And then you believe somewhere in your heart that once you have done those rules, you are right before God. Yeah, you give yourself self-approval. Yeah, that is self-righteousness. That is approving yourself before God, outside of God's standards. So we should measure our walk with God by God's standard, not by our own standard. I don't know if you are getting my point. You should measure your relationship with God or your righteous living by God's standard and by the Bible standard, not by your own standard. But self-righteous people, they would create a standard or a rule or a principle by which they live. Yeah, I mean, a principle they live by. They will create such principle, and they would conclude that as long as they do those things in their principles or in their standards or in their rules, their personal rules, that they have no issue with God. They are okay with God, and they are right before God. Yeah, so that is the meaning of self-righteousness. And if you look at the church today, you're going to see a lot of self-righteous believers. Yeah, even if you look at the world at large, you're going to see many self-righteous people. Yeah, many self-righteous people. I pray that God deliver you from your self-righteousness in Jesus' name. You know, sometimes I try to open the eyes of some Christians. I try to show them things that I know is lacking in their lives. But the next thing they would do is, I don't have that problem. I'm okay. In what you are telling me, I'm doing it. Yeah, I don't have issue with that. I'm doing that. I don't have problem with that. Yeah, but they are not actually doing that. Yeah, so I pray for you once again that the Lord would deliver you from your self-righteousness in Jesus' name. So we're going to look at scriptural references that backs up this topic. Open your Bibles to John 16. John chapter 16, verse 2. John. John 16, verse 2. I think we read this verse last week. We are looking at it again. John 16, verse 2. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. Yeah, you can see Jesus was telling them, he was telling the disciples to get ready for the kind of persecutions that will befall them. He said, some of them shall be put out of the synagogues. And then he went further to say that a time will come when whoever kills them would think he is doing God a service. So these are self-righteous and very zealous religious people. So these people, they would kill and they would consider it a righteous thing. Yeah. Because they feel like they are more righteous than you. Yeah, you know, there is this religion that does that a lot. Some of you know the religion I'm referring to. It is called the Islamic religion. The Islamic religion. You know, there are some of them who believe that every other religion apart from their own is wrong. And they consider you, who is not a Muslim, as an infidel, as inferior to them. And they believe If they kill you, God will be happy with that. Yeah, so that is, and not just Islamic religion, there are other religions like that. Yeah, who believes if they kill Christians, they are doing God a service. Yeah. Because they feel like they are superior, they are greater than any other persons. Yeah, I pray that God would deliver people practicing such religion in Jesus' name. And then let us look at Acts of the Apostles 13, verse 50. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, verse 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coasts. You can see the Jews in that location, in that city, they stirred up top officials and top people, yeah, influential people in that place in order to get rid of Paul and Barnabas. Yeah, so these are what self-righteous people do. Yeah, these are what misguided religious people and zealous people do. So they feel like you are wrong if you suddenly start teaching something that is against their self-righteous lifestyle. So you become an enemy for doing that. Yeah, and they will do everything to get rid of you. Yeah. You know, one thing about these people is that they put power in their hands. Yeah, they try to fight for God, whereas God can fight for himself. Yeah, God can fight for himself, but they wants to fight for God. Yeah, they want to fight for God, whereas God can fight for himself. Yeah. So they would put power in their hands and they would go against anyone that is saying something or preaching something or teaching something that doesn't line up with their beliefs. So they would fight such persons, and they would believe that they are helping God while doing that. Yeah. But what I believe is that let me put it this way. I believe God is not God if he cannot defend himself. Yeah, God is not God if he cannot fight for himself. So God doesn't need man to fight for him. Yeah, he can actually fight for himself. You know, there was a time Gideon. I'm sure some of you know about Gideon in the Bible. It's in the book of Judges. Yeah, there was a time Gideon went to destroy all the idols in his father's house. He destroyed everything. Yeah, because he had an encounter with God. And God instructed him to do that. So he destroyed everything. All the graven images, all the idols in his father's house. He destroyed everything, you know, set all on fire. And then the worshippers of those idols, they gathered around his house, because he was still staying in his father's house. They gathered around both him and his father in the house. And they told the father to bring Gideon out, that they would deal with him or even kill him for doing that. And the father said they should calm down. Yeah, the father said they should calm down. The father said, if this Baal we are worshipping, if this Baal is God indeed, then let Baal defend himself. Let Baal take the vengeance on Gideon. And when all of them heard that, they were like, you are making sense. Yeah, they were like, that is true. Yeah. And all of them, they went back. All the worshippers wanted to deal with Gideon. They went back. Yeah, because the father told them that if this God we have been serving, this idol we have been worshipping is a God indeed, then let Baal fight for himself. Yeah, and all of them were, they kept quiet, and they agreed and they went back. Yeah, but nothing happened to Gideon. Yeah, because Baal couldn't do anything to Gideon, which confirms that the God Gideon trusted, which is the Almighty God, is greater than the Baal he went to destroy. So the point is that God doesn't need anyone to fight for him. I mean, our God doesn't need anyone to fight for him. He can fight for himself. So even when God commanded the Israelites to destroy certain nations, yeah, God was with the Israelites, and he made sure they won the battle. So it was still God fighting the battle. Yeah, he was just using them to fight the battle. Yeah, because if he wasn't with them, they wouldn't have conquered the nations they conquered. So they were able to conquer all those pagan nations because God was with them in the war. Yeah, he was strongly with them. In fact, sometimes God will fight from heaven. While the battle is going on, God will send things from the sky to destroy their enemies. Yeah, so if God wasn't with them, there are instances God wasn't with them, and they went to fight and they were defeated. Yeah, so God doesn't need anyone to fight for him. But these self-righteous and religious people who persecute Christians, they try to fight for God or for their God, because I don't believe they are serving the God that we are serving. Yeah. And what I also know is that if God calls a man, he will stand with that man and he will defend that man. And all of you here, God have called you. Yeah, you might not be a pastor. That is the second calling. Yeah, ministerial offices are second callings. The first calling is your salvation. Yeah, that is your first call. So every one of us here, we have been called by God. Our first call is salvation. Yeah, we have been called out of the world into God's kingdom. We have been called out of darkness into God's light. We have been called to fellowship with God, to become sons of God. Yeah, so if God calls anyone, God is going to stay with that person and is going to defend that person. Yeah, so whoever trusts in God shall not be put to shame. Because God is a defender, is a great defender. But the self-righteous people, they don't know this. Or maybe they don't believe that. So they believe God, you know, God cannot fight for them, that they have to fight for God. Yeah, I pray that you will not be like that. In Jesus' name. I want us to look at Acts of the Apostles 21, verse 27 to 32. Acts of the Apostles 21, verse 27 to 32. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him. Yeah, that was Paul, Apostle Paul. That was the one they were attacking. Crying out, men of Israel, help. This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place. And further brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place. For they had seen before with him in the city from Phimos, an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple. And forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. You can see they were going to kill that man. They were going to kill him. Because they feel like he was doing the wrong thing. You know, they said he went everywhere teaching everyone that they should not practice the law, they should not follow the commandments, the commandments of God in the Bible. Yeah. And they even said he brought Gentiles, Greeks, that is those who were not Jews. He brought them to the temple. So a lot of accusations. And they were going to kill him. Now, I want to also mention this. Do you notice that I think I wrote an article about that some time ago. I think the title of the article was They Sued It Back. Yeah, in that article I was saying that the day Jesus gave up the ghost, or the hour Jesus gave up the ghost on the cross, the Bible told us that the veil of the temple, that is the veil that was separating the most holy place from the holy place and the outer court was torn into two from top to bottom. Yeah. Now, that was a sign, because God has never done that before in history. Yeah, God have never by himself torn that holy, you know, that veil into two. So that was a sign that God have put an end to the whole testament pattern of Saul worshiping him. Yeah, but these people, they went and sold that veil back. Yeah, so that Judaism can continue. So what I mean by Judaism is a form of worshiping God that is not according to the New Testament, but according to the Old Testament. Yeah, that is Judaism. Yeah, that form of worship that Moses laid down for the Israelites, that is Judaism. And that form of worship is no longer acceptable. I believe you know that. That form of worship that Moses gave the Israelites, that form of worship ended in that hour Jesus died. Yeah, but it didn't end in the souls and in the hearts of the Jews. So they still want that worship system to go on. Yeah, they still desire that such worship system continue. That was why they went to sew that veil back. Yeah, even though that was enough sign that God is done, or God was done with Judaism, but they were not done. Yeah, they weren't done with Judaism. They continued to serve God according to the Old Testament pattern, despite the fact that God already put an end to that worship system. Yeah, so what was supposed to happen is that, immediately after Jesus had died, all the Jews should become Christians. Yeah, they should repent and join the church. But that didn't happen. Now the Jews began to consider Christians as threats to their religion. Yeah, and they began to fight and attack them. Yeah, so they were not willing to let go of Judaism, of the worship system Moses laid down for them. They were not ready to let go of that. So they wanted that to continue. Yeah, and they rejected Jesus as their Messiah, as their Savior, because they already have another picture of the Messiah they wanted. So that the Messiah that God gave to them wasn't the Messiah they wanted. So they wanted another Jesus, another Messiah. That was what they wanted. Yeah. they already had a picture in their hearts of what their Messiah should look like. Yeah, but they were disappointed because Jesus did not meet up with that picture they had in mind. So that was the main reason they rejected him. Yeah, and even today we have Christians who already have a picture, a negative picture of Jesus in their hearts. Yeah, they have created another Jesus in their hearts. Yeah, that is different from the Jesus revealed to us in the Bible. Yeah, so every time they stand before God in prayer, they already have this picture of God they have created in their souls. That is what I mean by picture of God, is that to them, God is something else different from what the Bible have revealed that God is. So to them, Jesus is something else different from what the Bible already revealed Jesus to be. I don't know if I get my point. For instance, we know that Jesus is a friend of sinners, but not a friend of sin. Jesus was not in any way in agreement with sin, though he loves sinners and he wants them to repent. But Jesus doesn't love sin. But we have some Christians now who their own Jesus, the Jesus they have created in their hearts, is a Jesus who loves sin. A Jesus who is in agreement with sin and worldliness. So the Jesus they have created in their hearts is a Jesus who is comfortable with sin. Yeah. And because of that, they don't feel they don't feel bad serving Jesus in sin. They don't feel bad following Jesus and yet remain unrepentant and remain sinful. So they don't consider that to be wrong. So which means the Jesus they have created in their souls is different from the Jesus that the Word of God have revealed. Yeah, I pray you're not like that. I pray you will not be like that. Yeah, so in fact, some of these people, when they read the Bible, they don't let the Bible speak to them. They don't let the Bible interpret itself through the Holy Spirit to them. Or they don't let the Holy Spirit interpret the Bible to them. They force, somehow they will force their wrong belief about God. They will force it on the Bible. Yeah, they would force their wrong perception of God, their wrong perception of Jesus, their wrong understanding of who Jesus is, they would force it on the Word of God, on the Bible. Yeah, instead of them allowing the Bible to speak to them, they would, I'm looking for the word, the right word I can use. They would kind of make the Bible, or maybe I should say, they would kind of use the Bible to back up their wrong belief about God, their wrong perception about God. Their wrong understanding, wrong knowledge about God, about Jesus. So they would use the Bible to support that. Instead of them letting the Bible deliver them from that wrong perception. Yeah, they are not humble enough for the Holy Spirit to do that in them. Yeah, but they would use the Bible. They would force what they believe upon the Bible. Yeah, and you know, and what I know about the Bible is that the Bible is innocent, and anyone can use the Bible to preach false doctrines. Anyone. Yeah, anyone can use the Bible to support false teachings. And sometimes it will make sense, but actually there's no sense in it. Yeah. I pray you will not be like that. In Jesus' name. Yeah. So there are people who will use the Bible to support their wrong beliefs. Yeah, instead of allowing the Bible to pull down those wrong beliefs from their souls. Yeah, and because the Bible is innocent, so they will just pick verses that go in agreement with their false teaching. They'll pick those verses, those chapters, and they will use those verses and chapters to support their false beliefs and false teachings. Yeah, I pray you will not be like that. In Jesus' name. So, and that is how false prophets operate. Yeah, so the Jews, they were just like that. They already had a wrong picture of the Messiah they wanted. And that was why they couldn't believe Jesus, and they considered him as a blasphemer, because he called himself the Son of God. Yeah, they couldn't believe him. Yeah, because the Jesus they were expecting was not the Jesus they saw, even though Jesus actually came according to prophecies in the Old Testament, but they were so blinded to accept that this was the man, the prophet in the Old Testament prophesied about. They were so blinded to accept that because they already had a negative picture of the Messiah. I pray you will not create another picture of Jesus in your heart, so as to back up your self-righteousness and your wrong ways. I pray you will not create another Jesus in your heart. In Jesus' name. So let us look at another another verse. We're going to look at Acts of the Apostles, chapter 22. Acts 22, verse 3 to 4. I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons, both men and women. Now this was Apostle Paul narrating the things he did while he was in Judaism, while he was practicing Judaism, that is the Old Testament religion. Yeah, so he was telling them that he grew up as a Jew and as a scholar concerning the law, concerning all the Old Testament scriptures. So Apostle Paul was a very vast scholar of the Old Testament scriptures. So he was a man, you could call him a lawyer. Yeah, he was a man who knew everything in the Old Testament. He knew everything. Yeah, all the instructions, all the judgments. He knew everything. And then he told them that he was zealous toward God. And he persecuted Christians unto the death. So that is, he was ready to die doing it. Yeah, he was arresting people, arresting believers, and he was putting them into prisons because he considered all of them to be enemies of God. Yeah, so that is what self-righteous people do to believers, to Christians. Yeah, that is what self-righteous people do because they are so consumed with religious zeal. Some of them are ready to kill anyone that they consider to be doing something contrary to what they believe. Let us look at another scripture. Acts of the Apostles 23, verse 12 to 14. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And there were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. Imagine 40 people, practicing witchcraft. Verse 14, and they came to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have bound ourselves under a great curse, that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul." Now, I don't know where they learned that from, because this is pure witchcraft. Yeah, this is pure witchcraft. There's no way in the Old Testament that this was legalized or was approved. Yeah, it wasn't in the laws of Moses. It wasn't in the prophets, in the book of the prophets. Yeah, so this is pure witchcraft. Yeah, so they were saying that they are not going to eat or drink until they kill Paul. So which means, if we don't kill Paul, we will not eat and we will not drink. Yeah. Yeah, this is very serious. but you might not understand what this actually means. And this is a very strong covenant. Yeah, because in the spiritual realm, a unity is very powerful. So when few people come together in unity and they bind themselves with an oath or with a curse, usually it is very powerful. But of course, not more powerful than God. Yeah, because eventually God scattered this plan because they couldn't kill Paul eventually. Yeah, so they were so desperate. They were so desperate. So even today we have a lot of religious people, self-righteous people, who believe that Christians are delusional, and they believe that Christians are not really serving the true God. So they believe they are the ones serving the true God. Yeah, and some of them, if the God they are serving tells them to do anything against Christians, they are ready to do it without thinking twice. Yeah, but my prayer for you is that whoever join your hands together or join their spirits together to attack you, God will scatter them forever in Jesus' name. They shall not be able to carry out their wickedness against you in Jesus' name. So that was what they did here. Yeah, because this is how people practice cults or occultism. This is how they operate. Yeah. But God disgraced them. God put them to shame. So I don't know if they eventually died of hunger or they later broke the curse and went to heat. Yeah, because we saw in the scriptures that Paul did not die. Yeah. And you shall not die before your time in Jesus' name. So let us also look at Acts of the Apostles 26, verse 9 to 11. Acts 26, 9 to 11. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. So you can see how Apostle Paul was so much a great enemy of the church. But he was doing all these things in ignorance. He was doing everything in ignorance. Yeah, because he thought that was the right thing to do, to arrest Christians, imprison them, and have them killed. Yeah, he believed that was the right thing to do at that time. until Jesus appeared to him and saved him. Yeah, so don't be surprised when you see self-righteous and religious persecutors very determined to heal and to imprison anyone who identifies with Jesus. Don't be surprised. Yeah, because some of them, they are willing to do that till their last breath. They will not give up. Yeah, they are not ready to give up. Yeah. So don't be surprised when you see people like that. Yeah, and we have people like that everywhere in the world today. Let us also look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. Galatians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. For ye have heard of my conversion in time past in the Jews' religion, yeah, which is Judaism, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. You see that? And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. You can see. Yeah. Apostle Paul did a lot of havoc on the church. Yeah, and there's a reason why he kept on saying this. You can see that we have read several passages where Paul kept on repeating how much damage he did on the church before he was converted to Christianity. Yeah, there's a reason why I kept on repeating this. Yeah, number one, he wants to show them how much Satan can drive the souls and hearts of men to do what is wrong in the sight of God. Yeah, and then number two, he's saying this to confirm to them that his salvation is, you know, is genuine, is real. Yeah, because God saved him from such deep slavery to Satan and to darkness. Yeah. So he kept on saying this to confirm that his conversion is real or was real. Yeah. And usually people who have gone very deep into darkness and later saw the light and come out, usually people like that, they don't play with the light. They don't joke with the light. Yeah, because they have gotten so much of the dark, and they have seen how, you know, how unprofitable and how destructive darkness is. So usually, I personally would trust. Would trust the salvation experience of someone who have really gone deep into the dark and then was rescued by Jesus. I would really trust the salvation experience of such person than someone who is still playing around with Jesus playing around with darkness. You know, someone who we still putting one leg in the light and one leg in the darkness, because they don't really know what they, you know, they don't really know. They are playing with fire. Yeah. So Apostle Paul was someone who really have gone very deep in the dark, but the mercy of God brought him out. So which means it doesn't matter how deep a man have gone in darkness and in sin, the mercy of God can locate that man and save that man. Yeah. I pray that you will not have to go deep into the dark before you know how destructive and deadly darkness is, in Jesus' name. Let us look at the last scripture before we round off. Philippians 3 verse 6. Philippians 3 verse 6. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Yeah, Apostle Paul was saying that if it were concerning being zealous, that he was very zealous while he was in Judaism. And then if it were concerning this self-righteousness, that he was blameless. Yeah, because he was literally fulfilling all the law of Moses. All the Old Testament laws, he was fulfilling all of them. Though he knew in his heart that he wasn't free. Yeah, he knew that there is darkness in his heart, evil, wickedness, hatred, bitterness. But concerning outward righteousness, he was fine. Yeah, you know, there is outward righteousness and there is inward righteousness. So concerning outward righteousness, Apostle Paul was blameless. Concerning zeal, he had a lot of it. He was ready to die persecuting the church. That was how zealous he was. Yeah. So these are what you should look for in self-righteous persecutors and religious and zealous persecutors. My prayer is that you will correctly apply this knowledge you have learned in your daily life, in Jesus' name. And I pray that you will be zealous concerning what is good, concerning the things of God, in Jesus' name. Yeah, because if the people in darkness can be very zealous in attacking those in the light, then we who are in the light should also be very zealous in spreading our light. Yeah, I pray you will be zealous in well doing, in Jesus' name. Because we saw that Paul converted that zeal into a positive zeal when he became a Christian. He now refocused that zeal towards serving Jesus to the point that he was ready to die serving Jesus, because he was also ready to die serving Satan. Yeah, so when he got converted, so he refocused that zeal, or he transferred that zeal for righteous doing, yeah, or for good works, yeah. So let us be more zealous than the persecutors concerning the work of God, concerning soul winning, concerning every good work. Let us be more zealous than those who are fighting against us and fighting against the gospel of Jesus. Let us be more zealous. In fact, you should be so much zealous that people will start calling you names. Yeah, you know, there are some people that they were so zealous that they start getting names like you are the mother of Jesus, or you are the brother of Jesus, or you know, people start giving them names that you are too, sometimes they say they are too spiritual. They say they are too religious. Yeah. So we need to be so zealous to the point that people start giving you funny names because of your zealousness for God. Yeah, I pray that God give you the grace to be super zealous for Jesus and for his gospel, in Jesus' name. So we are going to stop here. And since there are no questions, if you have questions later, you can ask on the group. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this moment we have spent in your presence. Thank you for showing us what self-righteousness really means and how it is dangerous for anyone to embrace it. Thank you for showing us that we should expect persecution from self-righteous people and from religious people, zealous people who do not know you. Thank you for showing us all these things. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that the grace for every one of us to not enter into self-righteousness and false religion and false zeal towards God. Father, give everyone here such a grace in Jesus' name. I pray for you that in any way you have set your own righteousness before yourself, and consider yourself to be right before God, whereas God doesn't see you as right before Him. I pray that the Holy Spirit corrects you in those areas right now in Jesus' name. I pray that the Holy Ghost shall stir up in you great zeal and passion, such that you'll be more zealous and serious about the things of God than the way the enemies of God are zealous. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen.